I just turn on the camera again. It's just 1 minute.
So, as usual, before we start the class, we also generally discuss the question, the quiz that I ask to all of you to try answering. It is a kind of a self-assessment, just to make sure that we are attentively hearing. And one of the quiz questions I asked, that how do we actually explain, because we have been discussing the last several weeks, we are beginning this second module, Bhagavad Sandarbha of Sri Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami had very nicely given in a general way what is the absolute truth, the absolute reality. In that, describing that that he described that verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas, Tattvam Yat Jnanam Advayam, Brahma Yeti Paramatma Yeti Shabd, Bhagavan Yeti Shabda Yeti. So that verse is really the backbone of the entire is Bhagavad Sandarbha. And of course it was also in Tattva also first module that we completed. So in a general aspect, the absolute truth, Param Satyam, it's actually Advayam Jnanam, the fundamental characteristic that is one without second, that is called Advayam. And this knowledge here, it means consciousness, the supreme consciousness. So that is what the absolute truth is about. Then of course later on Srila Jiva Goswami also introduced that absolute truth also is the supreme shelter of all beings and everything in this world. So in that regard, discussing general topics, I raised a point that time a couple of weeks back, one of my young friend Rajesh Prabhu attended that class, and he was kind of a bit perplexed. The word absolute truth, that he asked me, what is so special about that actually, and how do we realize? In fact, that's the very same question that asked by Ravi Prabhu. I think he's attending here, I hope so. He, in response to my question, he also raised the same point. And I'm trying to sort of paraphrase his question, that how do we realize absolute truth? And Jiva Goswami explains, in fact, the bulk of that expression is Tattva Sandarbha, how to determine this Sambandha Jnana, Abhidaya Jnana, and Prayojan Jnana, Prayojan Tattva, in terms of absolute truth. So Ravi Prabhu is asking the same thing. I think he understood what is exactly by Sambandha Jnana, what is Abhidaya, Abhidhi process, and Prayojan is the supreme goal. So Sambandha Jnana is our relationship. In the six Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami is talking about the Jiva Tattvas, that we are individuals, spirit souls, Prakriti, the material nature that includes our physical body, and also the Supreme, the Bhagavan, you know, that is what the absolute truth is about. So what is the interrelationship between these three entities? And in that relationship, when we serve the Lord in devotional service, so that is called Abhideya. And our supreme goal, so that is in practice, and then we reach when we attain perfection, so then it's our supreme goal. So supreme goal of human life is to develop, cultivate love of Krishna, the supreme Lord, you know, So absolute truth, as that Vadanti verse explains, it is the fundamental characteristics is actually the one without second, and it is the supreme consciousness, and that is realized in three aspects, in an increasing realization state. First realization is the Brahman. Brahman is the impersonal, all-pervading, supreme, the conscious entity of the absolute truth. And Paramatma is the localized version of the absolute truth as Paramatma, the super soul that the Ashtanga yogis, their aim is to realize Paramatma, you know. And finally, the devotees, that's called Bhagavan realization, which is the complete realization. So all three are not necessarily three different aspects. They are all three is actually the absolute truth, and it's indivisible, you know. And it just realizes in three different aspects of it. And as we'll hear today's class, it depends upon the qualifications about the degree of sense perception of the worshipper, that is what limits sense, you know. So Brahman realization is the first level of realization, Paramatma is the intermediate, and then Bhagavan realization is the full complete realization. But they all represent the same absolute truth, and that is, so Bhagavan realization is the personal aspect of it, whereas the Brahman realization is the impersonal aspect of it. So impersonal aspect of it is partial realization, not complete. Complete realization is the Bhagavan realization. So I asked, and Rajesh Prabhu was asking the same thing, how do we really understand? And a very similar, so my quiz was, we explain this absolute truth. So what I just explained to you in a general aspect, Srila Jiva Goswami talks about Tattva Sandarbha. Now he's explaining that absolute truth in a more detailed way in Bhagavad Sandarbha. So Rajesh Prabhu was wondering, what is it so special about absolute truth? Even in the material world also, we know what is absolute truth in the sense, when there is a sunrise, we call it a day, you know. And when the sun sets, then we call it a nightfall, you know. And that is a reality, that's the absolute truth. People even generally said that it is as real as the day, you know, what they say. So what is so special about this absolute truth? So my quiz question was that how do we explain to those who are not familiar, who are really not on a devotional platform, unless you are on a devotional platform, it is very, very difficult to understand that, you know. And that is the theme of even today's topic also, actually, you know, today's lesson. So Ravi Prabhu picked up that, and he responded the same thing in a way, a slightly different way, but basically he's also asking, but he's asking in terms of it understood his response, and he wanted a feedback. What he really was asking is, what is its utility in material world, actually? So, and he gave few examples, and he also attached a small little video also, that how scientists learn by just observing material nature, you know. And the example was given like immune system, how this pathogens, microorganisms like bacteria, virus, in the nature, how they create devastating consequences by infecting the living entities, you know. And simply the scientists simply studying how it does that, what is the process of infection, and how that's how they learn from material nature itself by studying material nature. Science is all about study of material nature, you know. And that's how they develop medications, sort of vaccine approach, and that's how they learn. So Ravi Prabhu is asking, what is its utility? So it looks like he understood what is exactly absolute truth and what is the sambandha tattva, sambandha jnana tattva, abhidhya tattva and prayojan tattva, apparently understood it. But he is asking, as I understood, what I could surmise, that in the material world, what is its utility? You know, how do we do it, and what is it? Just like studying material nature, scientists could derive some useful benefit for the human society. You know, so what is its in it for us? By studying this, you know, so in fact today's whole class is really answer to that question to Ravi Prabhu actually. You know? But I also would like to point out certain things that is there in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, that's where Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, Parikshit Maharaj, the first step of self-realization, second step, and so on like that. So first step of self-realization is when a person is not a devotee, how does he understand that? By simply observing this material nature. And that's what Ravi Prabhu said, that absolute truth is Krishna, and Krishna is Lord Narayana, and isn't it Lord Narayana is also involved? He is the one who creates, maintains and dissolves this material world. That's exactly what Lord Narayana is, three Purusha expansion, that's what he does. So in a way, he's also involved in the material world, you know, creation, maintenance, and so on like that. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying the same thing, that Lord Narayana, in his three Purusha expansions, Karana, Dakshaya, Vishnu, by his just throwing the glance at my teacher, he creates the basic ingredients, like the senses and so on like that, without going into too much details. He creates multiple universes, billions and billions of universes. Every time he inhales, he exhales, material universes come into manifestation, and when he inhales, they go back into him, you know, the Karma Daksha Vishnu or Mahavishnu. And then each and every universe, he enters as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu further expands into Shirodakshaya Vishnu, and he enters in everyone's heart as the super soul, and every atom of the universe, you know. So that's why he's there. So when Sukadeva Goswami said that when a person is not a devotee, he has no idea about that, just he looks at around the material around him, because of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, his expansion, he's the one who created the first living entity, Lord Brahma, from his navel, the lotus originates, from which Lord Brahma originated. And then Lord Brahma, according to his direction, that he gave him a blueprint through his Virat Rupa, the universal form, that is a sort of Lord Garbhadakshaya Vishnu himself. So that is the expansion of Lord Narayana. So that is the direct answer to Ravi Prabhu, that when a person has no idea at all, he's completely on a material platform, but he looks around in this world and sees a wonderful, you know, like looking at this great canyon, you know, that's in the United States. Several miles deep of these canyons, such amazing things in the material world. So that there must, and the way different planetary systems exist, so fine balance, even a few degrees of difference, and these planets cannot exist in particular orbits. You know, so there must be some supernatural entity that must be controlling that. So just a human being who has no idea about spirituality, just looks at this material world and its wonderful, wonderful characteristics, he becomes amazed. No? So that is his first level of the realization of the absolute truth, actually. No? And then he learns, of course, you know, the same way, you know, then he makes progress, you know, ultimately comes to devotional platform. So that is exactly how one begins. that's how utility comes. But utility, in the beginning, he would, like scientists, they would try to find how that can help to sustain themselves in the material world. So it's everything on a material platform. But material platform, that means there is a beginning and there is an end. You know, no matter what kind of medicines we, you know, discover everything, but everything, these four things, the four realities of the material world that we cannot escape. Birth, repeated birth and death, old age, diseases, and so on. Finally, we die. You know, that no one can solve that. That is the fundamental characteristic of living entities. So, as long as we think of utility in the material world, then we are limited to finite its utility. You know, but we want to go beyond that. We want to solve that. We don't ever want to take birth again in this material world. We don't want ever to suffer in the material world. We don't want to become old, and we don't have to die. These are the things that is here, and the solution that he's studying is spirituality, you know, the devotional service. So there is a kind of realization, extension of a realization of this absolute truth in terms of this, the supreme, you know, there is a supreme consciousness, a supreme entity that exists, and to know him and cultivate love for him, that is part to be our goal. And our ultimate utility lies that we want to not only get out of the material world and go back to the spiritual world, which is eternal happiness, real happiness that lies there. That is what we want to attain there. And of course, beyond that, is to develop love for Krishna. What we call super love in this material world is not really love. It is lust. Lust means what the other thing, what the other person can do for us. So there's a self-interest always involved. Whereas when that lust becomes prema, it's not our interest, but what pleases the Lord, that is what by which, what can I do that the Supreme Lord can become very happy and pleased. So that is my ultimate happiness. So when that realization takes place, then that's our ultimate reality. I believe that Ravi Prabhu is saying here, elaborating further if I misunderstood him. The Lord says he creates phenomenal world, but not humanal world in Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna creates the bhumi in front of us every moment. So studying nature with impartiality is given. Bhagavad Gita also makes a common question. Basically, we come to the final question. And is there any controller to all this world? Yes, that's exactly the realization takes place. Ultimately, a human being comes to that conclusion that, you know, everything that's material world, everything's there. It's all amazing things are there. And there must be something that's supernatural, some supreme entity must be there, actually. So that is what really counts, actually. So what Ravi Kapoor says, that the Lord creates this phenomenal world, the material, the empirical world. So Krishna creates the movie in front of us every moment. So studying the nature with impassion is given. So that's what he's asking, children, and that's what I'm trying to tell you. Exactly, I'm trying to quote what Sukadeva Goswami tells to Parishad Maharaj, that the first level, very beginning, a person who he comes to spiritual platform, spirituality, he just sees, looks around and becomes amazed by the nature, that certain things that are created by the Lord. So that realization of that, and so that is what the Virat Rupa of the Supreme, this material world, is a part of the Supreme Lord actually himself, you know. So that is when he begins come to the spiritual level. In the second level of self-realization, then he realizes the Paramatma realization, you know. And then ultimately the devotional platform comes in. So Ravi Prabhu is further making as much a valid approach to realize Krishna. Exactly. That's the point Sudhi Goswami is making. So our utility our definition, our conception of utility must also expand. It should not be limited to just material world. Material world means there's a finite limit to it. We want something unlimited, and we want to be really become happy. Not that flickering happiness is material world. And that is only will comes when we get out of this material world and go back to spiritual world, when there is no more suffering, and then a full bliss, full state, serving the Lord. That is what it comes to play now. So that is what the absolute truth is all about, and that is ought to be our ultimate reality. Yukta Vairagya, correct. So Ravi Prabhu is clearly, he's answering his own questions right there, you know. So, Ravi Prabhu, if you, in fact, this particular class, today's class, is also all about that, your question, actually. And that is what we are going to be discussing when we talk about that. So, Ravi Prabhu is saying that utility only in the context of ultimate impartiality of Krishna is what is absolute truth. Yeah, yes. When you say ultimate impartiality of Krishna, well, Krishna is of course impartial. He's Sama Sarvesha Bhuteshu. That's what he says there, you know. But what you are asking about is utility, you know. Utility is that exactly, that we need to get out and to experience real happiness, you know. And that is not that material world. Material world is designed to suffer, you know. That's how we learn that this is not us, like shadow of water. So, moving on to that, if Sanjeev Prabhu is ready, we can begin the class. Okay, further, Ravi Prabhu is saying that utility is not in technical context of self. Okay, thank you, Ravi Prabhu. So if you pay attention, you will see in this today's class will illuminate much more on what you are talking about, actually. No? So here, this is lesson 3 now, and the themes are just as shown. There are 2 themes, actually. And respect to each of these 2 chapters that we talk about, the text, what Jiva Goswami refers to as Anucheda, you know. So Ravi Prabhu is saying that utility is not in the context of self. But that's what the point that we are going to learn today, that when we are not really in an advanced devotional level, then how do we know? So that's exactly thing about self, not our material nature, but our spirituality. We are jivatmas, we are pure spirit souls, and that is indeed part of the Brahman, actually. So here what Sri Jiva Goswami is explaining, and that is again is quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, which is telling us that simply observing our own spirit soul, because that is also conscious entity, we can get an idea of what is the Supreme Consciousness is all about. So there is a certain degree of what our own self is also involved if we want to realize, experience the ultimate reality. You know? So here, text 6 is about... So first, in a letter, very quickly review that, I already reviewed part of it. In a general aspect, what Jiva Goswami talks about in the previous 5 texts in Bhagavad Sandarbha, in Tattva Sandarbha, he gave a general aspect of it. Now he's going in a more detailed aspect of it. And so there we learn in first 5 texts that this absolute truth. Further, again, he discusses that same Vadanti verse. Vadanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti shabdayate. So that verse is further elaborates as we go along, you know. So there he talks about in the first few texts that ultimately realization of Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, as I told you, that these are the degrees of realization, different degrees of realization. Brahman realization is the first partial realization, the first step, and then the intermediate is Paramatma realization, and Bhagavan realization is the ultimate realization. So, what is it on the part? So, this limitation comes in part to the worshipper himself, actually, no? His own qualifications, and that is what page 6 that we'll be discussing today actually talks about that. What is our criteria of eligibility, you know, that determines. So it is our limitation of our sense perception, how much we can perceive, and that comes from that understanding that. So that is what and that also translates into the degree of completion, you know. So full completion is not there in Brahman realization, you know. That is just the partial completion. And then completion in the surrendering process, that also comes into play that. So that is what Jiva Goswami talks about in the first few texts. Yeah. And then he further discusses about several aspects. And that is what we want to discuss about in this class. So, text 6 is about what is it that limits, you know. So, what is it, in other words, what ought to be our eligibility? So, once we know that, then we can develop further, actually. And the text 7 is the manifestation about Brahman, you know. So, that is the first.
In order to attract Lord's mercy,
attract his mercy by engaging in devotional service. But even to have a devotional service, to be able to be engaged in devotional service, we also need Krishna's mercy. So paraspari, no? Without Krishna's mercy, we cannot engage in bhakti. And without bhakti, we cannot attract his mercy. So that's exactly comes like that. No? Both are interdependent. The sadhu sangam plays a role actually. So these prayers by Brahmaji, by themselves, as Shiva Goswami points out, raises some possible questions, you know, some objections, what Brahmaji says. And there Jiva Goswami is pointing out that even the solution to that, those objections, resolution to those objections, also lies therein, within his prayers. From himself answers, explains those objections that possibly one could raise, you know. So that is what we are going to see there, you know. So that is going to be our first theme of this lesson 3. And the second theme, now here, Jiva Goswami quotes another verse, you know, in fact, two verses. This is from the second canto, 7th chapter, verses 47 and 48, where he, Brahmaji, is instructing Narad Muni, who is actually his Manas Putra, his metal son, as well as his. So there he is going to elaborate further specifics about the Brahman feature actually, you know. What are the characteristics of Brahman? Yeah. And that's where he's saying that Brahman is actually the intermediate state of Bhagavan, you know. Now that's the point I'm making right there. Yeah. That might confuse some of us. On one hand, Jiva Goswami says that Brahman realization is the first step of Bhagavan realization. Now he's saying that Brahman, understanding of Brahman, that understanding of Brahman is actually an intermediate state before we go to Bhagavan. Yeah? So that is, I'll explain that. So in that intermediate state of Bhagavan, that Brahman realization, in whom all these qualities completely and perfectly exist, that characteristics that he lists, Brahmaji is listing that. So the principle, what we learn here, is and this is very important. This is the special significance of Srila Jiva Goswami, what he's saying here. And we all ought to pay a very close attention here. The goal is that according to specific qualification and disposition of the spiritual practitioner who is intent to realize this absolute truth, who is attempting that, the absolute self in three aspects, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So in order to elaborate principle, that's exactly what Jiva Goswami quotes his Brahmaji's prayers from 10th canto, 14th chapter, text 6. You know. So, and as I told you in the very beginning, in the introduction, some of the question that Ravi Prabhu is asking, the utility, we will see right there also here in that, you know. Okay? And I'm going to try pointing out that. Let's move on to the second PowerPoint. So let's first talk about what's that verse that Jiva Goswami is quoting, 10:14:6, important verse actually. So this is the text 6 now, the person's eligibility for Brahman realization, primary prerequisite, what is required. Next part. So here is that verse. So Srila Jiva Goswami cites this Brahmaji's prayers to Lord Krishna, and one of the prayers is this verse, you know. So so now I'm going to keep on giving you the Devanagari fonts in Sanskrit itself rather than transliteration using these diacritics, because for me personally it is a little bit easier for me to pronounce it right when reading straight Sanskrit rather than English version, Sanskrit but in English forms, you know. So here the verse begins with Tathapi Bhuvan Mahivan Mahima Agunasya De Vibodham Arhati Amala Antara Atma Vihi De Vibodham Arhati Antara Atma Vihi Avikriya Swa Anubhavat Avikriya Swa Anubhavat Rupato He Ananya Bodhayati Atmataya Cha Anyata. So, and each of these words carries special meanings to that, special significance. Now, even beginning with the very first word, Tathapi, you know. So, let's first read the translation and then we'll discuss about each of the significance of each of the words, actually. So, non-devotees, however, cannot realize. So, here, see that Ravi Prabhu, please pay close attention. You see about the response to what the issue that you're raising here. The non-devotees, those who are still on a material platform, you know, not yet come to spiritual platform, they cannot realize you, that means the absolute truth, that is Krishna, who is ultimately Krishna, and your full personal feature, they cannot realize that. Nevertheless, it may be possible for them to realize. So that's what the point Ravi Prabhu is saying, that how do we understand by just looking at the material world, material nature, how do we understand how the ultimate reality of that, you know? So here that's what Jiva Goswami is saying, that it is possible for those who are still on the material platform, that means those who are not devotees, to realize Krishna's expansion as this Brahman feature, personal feature, you know, without qualities, without characteristics of that. By cultivating, now here's the Ravi Prabhu, please pay attention. By cultivating direct perception of the self within our hearts. See that? You were saying that, you know, without our self looking to know it. Exactly saying that looking at ourselves, realizing our own Jivatma, because Jivatma, our spirit soul, is also called Brahman, you know. And to distinguish it from the supreme Brahman, that's called Parabrahma, you know. So our soul, this spirit soul, we are also tiny atomic size, tiny part of the supreme Brahman, you know. So just, so Brahman is saying, just looking at ourselves, realize your expansion of the Brahman actually, of the self within our heart. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachment to material sense objects. So that is the problem, you know. What is it that's stopping us? Ravi Prabhu is asking, finding its ultimate reality, because as long as we are in a material platform, that means especially the lower modes of material nature, Rajoguna, Tamoguna, that is what the difficulty lies there actually. And I'm going to spell out that. How is that limiting us to realize ultimate reality, ultimate utility? So only in this way, Brahmaji says, will your impersonal feature manifest itself. So you see that their realization of Brahman is only possible when direct mercy of the Supreme Lord Himself, you know, descends in his heart, and that is by engaging in devotional service. Now, so here let's talk about this discussion of this verse, beginning with Tathapi and Mahima. See that Tathapi Bhuman Mahima Agunasya. Let's next verse, Prabhuji. So here, oh, please. So Mahima. Mahima is what Sanskrit Mahima means, the glory actually, the significance. Any book or anything which we read about something, you know, like Avatam, Bhagavad Gita and so on, you'll see there is always a Mahima. Why should we study that? You know, what is it? So it's important significance of it, you know. So here also there's a mahima of the absolute truth, Brahman realization. So what is that? What is the mahima? What is the glory of that? That it is the great. It is the greatest among the great. And the power, most powerful among the powerfuls, of Brahman. And the beauty part of it, not only Brahman itself is the greatest and most powerful and all pervading, but also the greatest beauty is that those who are realizing that Brahman aspect, they also become great and become powerful become pervading. Now, of course, Brahman part of ourselves, our spiritual path, pervades through our own body actually. There's a supreme Brahman pervades throughout the whole entire universe and every living entity's heart, That's the big difference. So the Sanskrit phrase is that Brahmati Brahmayati Iti Brahman. The definition of Brahman is this, what? That Brahmati, that what it does, it pervades the entire universe, but at the same time, so itself is pervading, but those who worship, they also realize the greatness of it. And that's exactly the definition of Brahman. So that is the mahima or the glory of that Brahman. And that's the first level of realization. So different stages are there actually. And then the first word, this verse begins with tathapi, meaning even though. Direct meaning is words even though. That's also very significant. And so what he says, Brahman, he says that even though it is very, very difficult to know this great Brahman aspect of God, it is indeed possible for those whose hearts have been purified. So first level of criteria, first level of qualification that is necessary, or prerequisite necessary, the heart must be pure. What is it that prevents us to come to that platform of understanding Brahman? And then I just said that that is our lower modes of material nature, especially these modes of passion and ignorance, Rajoguna and Tamoguna, which gives rise to six kinds of vices actually. Kama, the lobha, mada, moha, matsara, because that distracts our mind actually. Our mind ought to be focused on realizing Brahman. But if the mind is distracted by material enjoyment, anger, greed and so on like that, so that perturbs our attention on that, And what the tamoguna, the mode of ignorance does that brings inertia, brings drowsiness, feeling sleepy, laziness, and lack of enthusiasm and delusion in a reality actually. So these are the influence of these lower modes prevents us. So we need to purify those, to come to first material mode of goodness, sattam yat sanjayate jnanam, sattam yat brahma darshanam. Only through mode of goodness we realize, we understand this transcendental knowledge. And only through mode of goodness we come to the platform of self-realization, Brahman realization. And there are various ways to do that, but most effective and most immediate way of realizing that is to by devotional service. So lower modes can transform to goodness, and that's where the very nice verse. Many times I repeat those verses. That's in the first canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, verses 16 to 21, actually, the five verses, It begins with this, Shrutam Sokata Krishna, Uni Shramana Kirtana, Ridhyanta Sobhadrani, Ridhyanta Sobhadrani, I forgot that exactly. So many times I repeat that verse, actually, So basically, this translation is this, that this Krishna sitting in our heart as Paramatma, when we hear about his holy names and so on like that, so he removes from our heart all the kind of impurities, the anarthas, that has brought about by the influence of the lower modes of material nature. literally cleanses the mirror of our heart, actually, you know. And how does it do that, actually, you know? So that is because this, you know, when the devotees hear about him, chant his holy name, and hear his sweet pastimes, so that's how. So he converts the lower modes into the mode of goodness. He replaces those lower modes in the mode of goodness, then ultimately pure mode of goodness. And only when we come to pure mode of goodness, then we come to the pure devotional platform. Okay? Without that, we cannot come to the pure devotional platform. And without pure coming to the pure devotional platform, we cannot attract His mercy to realize this Brahman realization, actually. Yes. Until we do that, we remain on material platform, and we need to expand our vision horizon, actually, to realize the supreme utility. Now, what Ravi Prabhu is asking that. So when we come to that pure mode of goodness, then at that point precisely we come to the pure devotional service, and then we realize this Hriday, you know, Tattva Jnana, you know, Bhagavad Tattva Jnana, and that is the knowledge about Krishna, who really He is, Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, you know, and then we realize, because when we realize the Bhagavad Tattva Vijnanam, who Krishna really is, then just karmani, you know, all the karmic bondage of, that is accumulated over millions of lifetimes are removed. This tight propensity we have to enjoyment, still we like to enjoy matter, that is the tight knot between Hriday Granthi, what is called, with matter and spirit. And that is also completely through that, you know. All the doubt are removed, misunderstandings are removed, and then we realize ultimately who we are. We are pure spirit souls, we are part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman, so we are also conscious entities, actually, you know. And then ultimately we realize we are meant to serve the Supreme Lord. So all these five verses, step by step, very logically explains how we can purify ourselves of these impurities in our heart, which really prevents us to come to that spiritual platform, to realize Brahman, actually, you know, to realize the ultimate reality, absolute truth, you know. So that's what he's talking about. So the point is here, tathapi, even though these non-devotees are not qualified, yet this Brahman religion deserves to be realized by these people, actually, by the non-devotees. And the way they can do is this, actually, by purifying their heart first, and then by attracting Krishna's mercy through engaging in devotional service. So that's the first thing we need to do that. And that's exactly in the second canto, Srila, you know, Subhadeva Goswami also tells Parikshit Maharaj exactly the same thing. The first level of realization, before we have any concept about what's the absolute truth, is to realize, look all around us, you know. This, you know, what, you know, I love to, you know, visit this Arctic section, Arctic, the country situated in the Arctic world, you know, over the above, you know, where there's a 6 months day and 6 months night, and in the, you know, in the night, in the winter time, is amazing, the lights, aurora borealis, you know, the dancing green, red, reddish green lights dancing in the sky, you know, in big, huge size, you know, and I saw that, I was really amazed by that, exactly. So those are the things, these are just examples, such wonderful things, when we see, in fact, that is indeed how we realize Krishna, the Supreme, you know. Krishna is even tasting water. Yeah. When we see that the taste of water is indeed Krishna, you know. Rasomapso, he says, I am the taste of water. I am this and that. Everywhere you see all around us, he said, I am there. Without me, nothing there, actually, you know. So when we realize that, that's how we make progress toward understanding the absolute truth. So that is what's say the same thing. Even though when we are material platform, we are not qualified, and yet Brahman relation deserves to be realized by people like us actually. And how do we do that? First, we have to remove those elements that are preventing us for that realization, and that is by simply engaging this recommended way of purifying our heart, you know, by hearing. So exactly what we are doing right now, we are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the very essential sections of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Jiva Goswami is telling us in the sandarbhas, the significance of that. When we hear and when we internalize, and how do we internalize? By attentively hearing and regularly, then only we are going to be able to internalize, and then our horizon, our vision, that will be expanding that, you know. So that's what he's saying. The most potent method of purifying the heart is devotional service to Sri Krishna. Simply hearing about him. Shrimadam Sakata Krishna Punishravana Kirtana. So Krishna himself, and then the next one is Nashta Prayasha Bhadresho Nityam Bhagavata Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtake. So by simply serving this Bhagavata, great, this Srimad Bhagavatam book, as well as those devotees who are also called Bhagavata, person Bhagavata, then all the pre-existing dirt in our heart, that is removed actually. And then in our heart, this irrevocable bhakti is created in our heart, you know. And when that happens, then what happens? Tada, rajastamo bhava kama lobha adayashaye. At that time, this influence of the lower modes, of the material world, material modes of nature, rajoguna, tamoguna, kama, krodha, lobha, madha, moha, matsara, they are going to be replaced as sattva, siddha, prasidati. So the Lord removes those things and replaces with the word of goodness. At that time, evam the vidyanam, you know. So at that point, when we come to the lower mode of goodness, this supreme bliss descends in our heart, you know. True happiness, that descends our heart, blissful. And that time we really engage, that time we develop that qualification to be engaged in pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, actually. And as a result, the science of Krishna consciousness develops in our heart, you know. And then what happens? Chityate hridaye granthis, vidyate hridaye granthis, chityate sarva samshaya. You know, kshiyanti chasya karmani, just evatmani ishvare. Then we realize all this tight note, this tremendous propensity we to have in our heart to enjoy material nature, which is actually preventing us to come to that platform, that is shattered actually. Vidyadradeva is chintyate sarva samshaya. All the doubts, misgivings are removed. Kshiyanti chasya karmani, all the karmic bondage that is accumulated in our heart is dissolved. Then we realize we have a spiritual identity, but true identity, we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And then ultimately realization that we are meant to serve my Lord, you know. So this is what Krishna does in a very logical way. Sutta Goswami explains in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So this is exactly how we develop the qualification to realize Brahman actually. So that's the significance of word tathapi. So here, Brahman, see here, Brahmaji is saying, though my mind and senses of Brahmaji himself recognized it, so he developed that adhikara. So he's a very, very pious soul, extremely wonderful. So he said, even though I did not have any contamination of material things, you know, still it was very difficult for me. See, otherwise, how did I fail to recognize you, and I stole your coward friends, stole your cows to test you. I had an audacity to test you, my Lord. I did not realize who you are. You are a little boy, and I thought that how that little boy could be the Supreme Brahman, you know, the Supreme Lord actually. So I failed to recognize, even though by nature, I'm free from all material dirts. You know? So that's what he's emphasizing, that we must remove those things. And still, we need the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Without mercy, without his direct mercy, we cannot understand him. You know? So here, and even more difficult, than one aspect of you, is even more difficult because you are nirguna nirakara. You have no material qualities. You have no material forms. So how to realize you that something in like void, you know, that makes it equally difficult. That Brahman has no material. Nirguna nirakara means in terms of So the significant part here in this verse, by quoting this verse, what Jiva Goswami is establishing, is emphasizing that Brahman realization is impossible without the mercy of the God, you know, without the mercy of the Lord actually. And that comes only as a result of the practitioner's engagement in devotional service. Hearing, but and how do we begin that when completely on material platform? Just look at the material world, which itself is actually the form of the absolute truth. Because this gigantic universal Virat Rupa is a big material world. And that was the one which shown as a blueprint for Brahmaji to create the secondary creation. We also the comparison with those impersonalists, especially Mayavadis, who have this radical explanation of this impersonalism. Remember, I told you last week class that there are two kinds of impersonalism. These are Brahmagyani, Brahmavadis, those who are Jnanavadis actually, and Jnana platform, and those who are Bhagavad Paramahamsas, those who are devotees. So both are highest perfect beings, but those who are Jnani Paramahamsas, they remain on the Jnana plane. They go even further. They offend Krishna. They don't think Krishna is the supreme actually. They accept Brahma. So Brahmavad is also explained. Accept is the Brahman aspect of the supreme. That is higher than Krishna. That's only Brahman. Mayavadis, they don't even consider Krishna. So when Krishna comes, the material world, he also comes under the influence of the modes of material nature, which is really absurd, you know. Now, Brahmavadis don't do that. Brahmavadis do accept Krishna supreme, but his Brahman aspect, they are more interested in that actually. That's only different. But nonetheless, what Mayavadis are saying, they simply cultivate this Brahma Jnana by simply studying Vedanta, you know, where when he gives the knowledge. Brahma Sutra, Vedanta Sutra, which gives the knowledge of the Supreme Brahman, and then develop certain austerities, detachment, that's Vairagya. So if you have a Jnana plus Vairagya, and then you, of course you accept practice austerities, then really realize the true Brahman. And their goal is to merge with the Brahman, you know. So that's the problem. Yeah. But when somebody directly takes up bhakti automatically gives you Jnana and Vairagya, automatically comes from it, you know. So you don't need to practice or separately. It is part of it. In Vairagya are the sons of Bhakti Devi actually. So Jiva Goswami, so while it might be rising in somebody who is not familiar, in their mind these doubts might come. First doubt is this, that when Ramaji says, what is the statement in that verse, when Bhagavatam, that how do you, hearing, seeing, smelling, touching, and so on like that. You know? So that sense perception is recognized by the mind, and then we understand that. So the mind has these different mental states when we experience that, you know, which are transformation. So when we look at a very beautiful flower, so mind is occupied in that, okay? And then when it smells, then the mind constantly transforms itself depending on what he sees at a particular time, you know? So this transformation, that is what the difficulty. So it's called Antakarana Vritti. Vritti means the propensity, or the inclination. What he experienced through his five yanindriyas, sense perception. So objection is this, that when the mind prefers transformation, how is it? The mind is going to realize that Supreme Brahman, that goes without any kind of transformation. That does not go on, that remains unchanged. Even our spirit soul, that is also Brahman, that also remains unchanged. In fact, that's a very definition, the difference between matter and spirit. Matter, as our physical body, is part of matter. Matter is always undergoes different kinds of changes. The spirit soul remains unchanged. That's a witnessing, sense perception, and in process transformation is changing. How is it going to realize that which does not undergo any changes? You know? So that's the objection. So Jiva Goswami is pointing out that Brahmaji's that words, prayers, already has itself the answer or resolution to that doubt, actually. When Brahmaji uses the word avikriyat, when he says that, avikriyat, the very word avikriyat, that means that knowledge of the pure self arises when the mind is free from this kind of propensities to undergo transformations. That natural vritti, natural inclination, that natural propensity to undergo transformation, that is born actually, you know, when the knowledge of the pure self Brahman develops that attitude. So in other words, like perception, body mind complexity is beyond that actually. That's what the Brahman transformed that self. So Brahman itself remains without any. Also, when mind is focused on Brahman, then that also does not undergo any changes. You know, that's the difference. So Brahmaji already. Jiva Goswami points out that Brahmaji's verse prayers itself answers that possible objection. But then Jiva Goswami also anticipates another option right from that answer actually. Huh? So that answer itself creates another second objection. Next part. So here it is. So an experience is always related to an object, Vishaya. So, but the pure self being the nature unmesh. So here, when Brahmaji used the word avyakta, that which is unmanifest, and yet pervades the entire body, could not be the object of experience for the senses, you know, of something that has no form, arupata, you know, is a no form, no qualities. How is it going to realize that actually, you know? Because our senses can only experience that thing which has a form or certain qualities, you know. Otherwise, you cannot realize that. So, Brahmaji's verse says, Jiva Goswami points out that Brahmaji uses the word arupata. Arupata means that is that has no material form, you know. Form means something that can be measured or conceived. And Brahman itself is devoid of any such form. So, in other words, when the mind is free from vrittis, free from all kind of this propensity for transformations, caused by this attachment to this gross and material bodies, such subtle bodies, then the pure self manifests itself, you know. So, this point is a little difficult, so it's very nicely, it can be understood by looking at these analogies, you know. Sometimes directly when it's difficult, use the everyday example that we see all the time, you know. So, let's see, look at this table. So, this table, how do we see it? By looking at our eyes, right? Through our eyes we see the table. Only our eyesight is good, one thing that. But even more important, then there is a light. In this pitch dark, we cannot see a table. Now, this table right now I'm using, my laptop is on this little table, which is black table actually, you know. In a pitch dark, I won't be able to see that table now. Right? So that is the limitations and the senses we have in our eyes, you know. But what Jiva Goswami is pointing out, here, there's a light there. This light bulb is there, right? So how do we see that light bulb actually? It's only when there's a light, when it's a self-illuminating, bulb is self-illuminating, even though this light bulb is there because the self-illumination power of it that allows us to see that. So we don't need to have something like that, something that is self-illuminous. So what Jesus is pointing out that our Brahman, our spirit soul, and same by the Supreme Consciousness, the Supreme Brahman also, is self-illuminous. So you don't need any kind. So these eyes, our senses can already detect it without anything source. That is the point actually he's pointing out. So here, see, look at the PowerPoint. While we need functional eyesight and light, external light, to visualize a table, we do not need a separate source of illumination to see a light bulb, right? Correct. Similarly, this self, our spiritual jivatma, Brahman, is also can be manifest in a pure mind. Brahman, being supremely conscious, can be realized well beyond the body and mind. Now look at that. I'll give one nice. When you close your eyes, and there's a light there, even though we cannot see the light, we realize, because our internal senses realize that actually that source of illumination, you know. So same way, our mind also can realize this. So I think the PowerPoint is correct for one. Sanjay Prabhu is saying that intermittent sound breaks today, common cause for others or me only due to slow internet speed or something. So I think it's a problem with the internet, you know. So yeah, I can't help you much. Mm. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, here it is. Back. See that? When we invoke Krishna, all the problems of material world has tendency to go away by itself. So here, so now that raises a third objection. See, we have been talking about, again, Ravi Prabhu's issue come back again here. Ravi Prabhu is talking about looking at ourselves. How can that solve? So here's a problem. So even if one realizes the atomic size of our individual consciousness, our spirit soul, Jivatma, how could such realization extend into the unlimited or omnipotent Brahman, Supreme Brahman, Para Brahma? So again, Jiva Goswami pointing out Brahmaji's prayers itself, and that resolves automatically this issue also. Because here, this glory known through awareness, through realization, consciousness being non-different from the Supreme Consciousness. So when somebody raises the question, then even, first of all, it is very difficult to realize ourselves, but even suppose we realize that itself is not necessarily going to allow us to realize the Supreme Brahman, which is unlimited, all-pervading, So Ramaji is pointing out, no, that's me. Because when we are aware, what is the awareness of what? That we are non-different from the Supreme Brahman. We are just atomic size, tiny, poor, parted, quasar. Nonetheless, we are non-different from Krishna, from the Supreme Brahman. It's like you have a sun, very illuminating sun during the day, but you have even a ray of sunlight in part of it, very, very tiny, tiny part of it. Nonetheless, by sunlight itself will serve the purpose of illumination. So here is exactly the same, that our Jivatma, our spirit soul, is part and parcel of the Supreme. So it is in that qualitatively, at least, it is not different from the Supreme Brahman. So that will give you an idea, at least, to say what the Supreme Brahman ought to be like. That, we discussed this aspect in our previous classes also. Remember that by looking at ourselves, we can derive some knowledge. That's what Brahmaji explained, that the glory can be known through awareness of consciousness, being non-different from the Supreme Consciousness, all-pervading Brahman. And the word he uses, ananya-bodhiya, so this experience of oneness with Brahman. So what we need to realize, qualitatively we are same as Supreme. Is the quantitative different? We are tiny atomics. Well, that is before of the Supreme, actually. That's only Supreme Consciousness, supremely illumination, there. So what I was telling you about that, when you close your eyes, even though eyes are closed, we cannot see the light, but the illumination, the light, can be realized right within ourselves. So there are internal senses that can realize that. So here, Jiva Goswami pointing out that we are non-different, qualitatively we are non-different from the Supreme Brahman by the word ananya bodhiyatpataya. That within individual capacity of the practitioner, rather, it occurs by the strength of sadhana bhakti. So that's why it connects what Sivak Goswami is emphasizing throughout, that we need Krishna's mercy, and we attract Krishna's mercy only through this devotional service, practice of devotional service, sadhana bhakti. Then only we can understand, realize Brahman. So to substantiate that, Jiva Goswami cites some two verses, actually. Let me. So So one of the verses is actually, Sudha Goswami himself says, that it's the very next verse following this, the famous Vadanti verse, you know. And it's right here. There is a 1, 2, 12, first canto, second chapter, verse 12. 11 is the Vadanti verse, okay? So, tat shraddhana munayo jnana vairagi yuktaya pashyanti atmani cha atmanam pashyanti atmani cha atmanam bhaktiya shruddha prahiteya. It's a translation. And for the wise, faithful sages, the munis actually, see the absolute truth as Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan, whatever the case may be, without this self through developed devotion, within this, so they see it within themselves through devotion, coupled with jnana and vairagya, and that is acquired through the faculty of hearing. What it means, hearing means hearing from the footsteps of the previous acharyas. So, hearing through the scriptural injunctions, scriptural knowledge, facilitated by explanation of the acharyas. So, that is where to follow that, not our mental concoctions, you know. So, by that way, we can realize. So, that is the first one that he quotes there. What is substantiating that? So that oneness of Brahman, you know, and ourselves. And this, again, from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 24th chapter, text 38. This is the dialogue taking place between the Lord's Matsya Avatara, and he's instructing. Again, what happened? Disappeared. So, Matsya Avatara is instructing King Satyavrata, you know, and saying what? Mad iyam mahimanam cha param brahmeti shabditam vetsyati anugrahitam ne sam prashnena vibhrittam hridi. You will also know my glory. So, Matsya Avatara, incarnation, is telling King Satyavrata that you will realize me and my glory, which is celebrated as Parabrahma. That is what we are talking about, Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Conscious, all pervading, the greatest. That you will realize that glory, for will be thoroughly revealed to you within your heart, both as a result of your own profound inquiry. So, Pari Prashnena Sevaya, that must be very important, Chaitanya. And through my favor, by my mercy, direct mercy, then only you will understand that. So, these two verses that Jiva Goswami quotes to substantiate that fact that by the Lord's mercy we realize, even though it is very difficult, you know. Oh, good. Ravi Prabhu is saying, luckily I have no problem today in hearing. See, that is the mercy of the Lord actually. You had a genuine inquiry. You genuinely wanted to know, and Lord is making that possible. Isn't it? So that genuine desire has to be there. Unless there is a desire, so our material desire has to be transformed into spiritual desire. Then Lord makes it possible. Sanjeev Prabhu. I don't know. So it looks like there is a problem with displaying PowerPoints also. Internet issue. Okay, moving on.
Do you know how you drink?
No.
First, just put your feet in the ground. Dig up the cold.
PowerPoint number 6, I already explained that.
So
all these three possible objections are resolved by Jiva's pointing out. The spirit itself shows that. So this PowerPoint number 7, please now.
Yeah.
The third option that we just covered actually.
die.
Good argument. Right?
So power bit number eight. Yeah. So now we discuss deck 7. So in deck 6, Jiva Goswami is exactly pointing out a prerequisite, a qualification or criteria of eligibility for this practitioner to realize Brahma actually. No? And what is that? The most important point is that the deeper heart must be free of all material pursuits, material enjoyment propensity. And Lord's mercy must be there by through our engagement in devotional service. That is the first qualification, okay? That is qualification required, very basic qualification required to realize Brahman, even though it is very, very difficult to understand. So now in text 7 that we are talking about, this is the second theme of lesson 3. Here we understand that Jiva Goswami is explaining how Brahman manifests in a person who is now become eligible to realize Brahman. How does Brahman manifest there? You know? So, and remember, Brahman is the first step in the realization of Brahman, in Bhagavan realization. Jiva Goswami is again quoting another verses, you know, this is from 2nd canto, 7th chapter, text 47 and 48. And in this verse, Jiva Goswami is also pointing out certain wonderful characteristics of Brahman, you know. So first I'll read this. Sashvat Prasantam Abhayam, Sashvat Prasantam Abhayam Pratibodhamatram, Shuddham Shamam Sat Asadhatrapul, Shabdona Yatta Purukar Karakavan, Maya Parayit Parayitya Abhimukhe Cha Vilajyamana, Maya Parayitya Abhimukhe Cha Vilajyamana, Tadvai Padam Bhagavata Paramasya, Tadvai Padam Paramasya Pumso, Prameti Yat Vidura Vidur Ajashra Sukham. Jokam. So translation. What is realized? Sorry. In this verse, there are many, many special characteristics of Brahman that Jiva Goswami is pointing out from this Srimad Bhagavatam verse, you know. And also is pointing out how Brahman manifests in the heart of such. So realization of Brahman takes place in such a person who is qualified to now realize that Brahman. First, what is manifest is this: the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. And changed through his disciple to here. Because he could not come to the ashrama because he was already self-realized and he did not want to get back. So, but at that point, he was Brahman realized, you know? So full of supreme bliss, and he was completely free from all body-mind complex. You know? He had no other thoughts, no other feelings, nothing like that. You know, so that's exactly what is even here actually. One who is Brahman realized is full of unlimited bliss, without any kind of. You know, PowerPoint disappeared. So let me read this. So what is enjoyer? There is ultimate reality actually of one who has realized this supreme Brahman and the person I have guarded is eternally void of all disturbances and is fearless. His complete consciousness is opposed to matter. So he's already beyond this platform matter actually. See, that's how I told you before, the professor, that when you realize Brahman, just looking at all material world around that, and that is a manifestation of by the Supreme Lord Himself, and that's how you come to that realization. Actions. He is the principal, primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruity activities. and before which the eternal energy personified Maya flees out of shame. So let's try to understand that. So how do we understand? So here, Jiva Goswami pointing out in this verse. Now this is the verse spoken by Lord Brahma again, but now he's instructing Narada Muni actually. No? This is from the second canto, 7th chapter, text 47-48. So Brahmaji is instructing Narada Muni actually. How do we understand the apparent paradox with this Vadanti verse? First of all, the point I'm making here, remember this is the point I'm making, okay? There's a possible confusion in our heart because we keep hearing Jiva Goswami pointing out that Brahman realization is the first step to Bhagavan realization, right? So Brahman realization takes place, then Paramatma realization takes place, and then Bhagavan realization takes place, right? And that we learn from today's class that happens because of Krishna, Lord's mercy. Without Lord's mercy, this cannot happen. And to attract Lord's mercy, the practitioner must be engaged in devotional service. Then only it happens. So this is the first step in realization of Bhagavan. But now, Jiva Goswami is pointing out that Bhagavan, this Brahman realization is an intermediate step. In this verse. Based on these two verses, this 2:7, 47:48, indicating Brahman as the intermediate state of Bhagavan. So how is that? So it's difficult. On one instance, we know that it's the first step in self-realization, but now through citing this verse, Jiva Goswami is pointing out that Brahman is the intermediate step of Bhagavan realization. How to understand that? So here, this book is explaining very nicely actually. What we learned in the previous text 5, you know. So there, the ultimate finite knowledge, determinate knowledge, is called Savikalpa Jnana, is preceded by intermediate knowledge, Nirvikalpa Jnana. To make this understand very easily, again, let's cite an example here, you know. So here, let's say, so this author cites a verse here, a phrase here. For example, this is a boy. Very simple phrase, right? This is a boy. So Jiva Prabhu is saying, I'm stopping slide share. 5 minutes to see if it helps. So it looks like there's an internet issue there. All of your experience. I hope it's not for everyone. Most of you, those who are in India, they are experiencing this thing now. Okay. So this is a boy, it's a phrase, right? Right? So how do we understand that? So before we understand boy, what Jiva Goswami is pointing out, what this author is pointing out in order to understand the Brahman being the intermediate step to Brahman realization, you know. So here, this is a boy. Before we get any idea about that boy, we have to have understanding about the boyhood. What is talking about is the boyhood of the boy, right? So this boyhood is a quality or adjective, and the boy itself is the object. But the relation between the boy, the object, and his boyhood, the quality, that is also a third aspect of it. So this boyhood is the that must precede to understand boy. When we talk about boyhood, that we must understand that. So that is the intermediate step actually, that must precede with understanding the boy. Same way here, in order to realize Brahman, we must first understand his quality. The intermediate step, that is Brahman, because that's a portion of understanding the absolute truth. So in that sense, Brahman is an intermediate step, and that must precede Brahman realization. So first we need to understand Brahman realization, and then only we can understand either Paramatma realization or Bhagavan realization. So now it reconciles this apparent paradox that I just talked about. Because one instant, Jiva Goswami is pointing out Brahman realization is the first step in Bhagavan realization. But now, by quoting these verses, Brahmaji's instruction to Narada Muni, here we see Brahman realization is the intermediate step to Bhagavan realization. So he is pointing out how he's explaining that this simple analogy, that this understanding of Brahman must precede to Bhagavan realization. So it's an intermediate step in that sense. Okay, PowerPoint number 11 now. So Brahman with no manifest qualities is the first step toward Bhagavan. So Bhagavan is the first impression, that's the intermediate step. Now, the shabda, the sound, that is the quality of the sky. Any material sound, is like the sound, in order to transmit sound waves, you need some kind of medium, right? The medium on the sky. All material world, so that unless that is there, you cannot transmit the sound actually. In absolute vacuum, you cannot transmit sound. So, now, what about Brahman? Is beyond this material sky. So this material sound cannot reach Brahman. However, Vedic sounds can reach that. But you have to also make a little distinction here, because Vedas have about almost like 80-85% is Karma Kanda. I mean, those verses, Vedas, which are there just for the material pursuits. Here it is. Thank you. So here, the Karma Kanda verses, which are the motive is to enjoy material. So obviously, that cannot beyond this limits within the framework of the sky, so it will not go beyond these two spiritual world when Brahman is there. However, the verses, when you talk about this, as I said, almost 80-85% is this Karma Kanda, but then there are 10% or so, there is a Jnana Kanda, which is from the Upanishads, and that has a spiritual pursuit. So that is in an attempt to understand the Supreme. So that, because of spiritual nature, that can go beyond the limitation of the sky, material sky. So that can indeed reach the understanding of Brahman. So that is the point here. When we talk about Shabda, one cannot have thorough understanding of Brahman without understanding Bhagavan. So that is also point here actually. And that makes a sense, because Brahman realization is just a partial realization of Bhagavan. So different stages it goes. A very nice analogy example that if there is a lightning bulb is there from a way, way distant. So first you see illumination, right? And then you go nearer and nearer, then you see the bulb itself. And still closer is the filament in the bulb. That is the ultimate source of that light, right? So different stages are there. So the same way Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan realization is different steps. But ultimately you cannot see the source of the light, which is the filaments in the bulb, until you see that, you cannot see that. But if you see that first, then that solves the problem. So here, the point here is that one doesn't need to go a stepwise realization of Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. But if you directly understand Bhagavan realization itself, by simply devotional service, then you can get it right. Everything, because Bhagavan realization is complete realization. Automatically within that Bhagavan realization, Brahman realization and Paramatma realization is already there in that, you know. So that is the point actually. You know, one doesn't have to go in a stepwise way. So one cannot have thorough understanding of Brahman without first understanding Bhagavan. Even Brahman itself, thorough understanding of that, you need to have Bhagavan realization. So one example here, one cannot understand sunlight without the sun itself. Here is that we need to have an understanding of Bhagavan, not to be a full understanding of Brahman. So Brahman, however, is the basis for realization of Bhagavan, or the ultimate face. And this verse of Pada, word Pada, Sanskrit word, means the platform, position, stage. So this is the final step, final stage of understanding from first Bhagavan. First step, that itself, the Brahman realization, is the first step, or rather, it's an intermediate step in order to understand Bhagavan. But nonetheless, it is actually a step, important step, important platform. So, there's something that this verse also contains. Very, very important characteristics. Those light illuminates the characteristics of Brahman realization in this verse, you know. So, Pratibodha Mantram, which is pure consciousness, unadulterated, full bliss. And then Atma Tattvam, at the root cause of all selves. You know? Means all individual cells we have, we are all derived from this Supreme Brahman. Parabrahma is the source of all the tiny atomic sized Brahmas. Sama means that remaining same, unchanging, devoid of any increment or decrement. Shashvat Prashantam. Shashvat means eternal. Prashantam means great peace, tranquility. So it's an eternal tranquility, eternal peace is there. Abhayam means that which is without fear, fearless. Vishokam, without any kind of greed. Shuddham, pure. Sat, asat, paramam, situated beyond cause and effect. So that's why it's called absolute truth. Part of absolute truth. Okay, so this is the, I'm already approaching the end of class, so I'm very sorry. I didn't leave any time for discussion, but please do, if you have questions, send me those questions and I'll respond and I will share with the entire class. Gokul Priya Mataji, summarize this session for it there. And then the next class, we will begin that also in discussing your questions, my answers. Shuddha Bhakti Mataji, his devotee also realizes, then Bhagavan realization. No, as I said, that you don't need to go stepwise manner, because devotee is directly through this, initially sadhana bhakti and Bhagavan, realize Bhagavan. And Bhagavan is being the complete realization, automatically he develops understanding of Brahman, Paramatma also. But remember, this is the qualification, the limitation on the part of the practitioners, you know, and everybody doesn't get that adhikara, you know. So you have to have that particular adhikara, particular eligibility factor, you know, and that through Lord's mercy, you know. So those devotees are directly involved in devotional service directly, then they get this thing. So their self-perception goes to that level. Whereas those who are Brahman realize, so their perception is limited to that only extent only, you know. Thank you. Thank you, Ravi Prabhu. I hope you got the answers to your question in this today's class, you know. And we are going to continue because this whole discussion is all about that. So in the next class, next week, remember, by the way, it is not going to be day two, it's going to be day one, okay? Friday for the US, and for Asia it is Saturday, you know. Usually Saturday in the US, Sunday is the those in the Asian countries, you know. So it's day one. And that time we will discuss about the next verse, which is about Bhagavan realization. So there are four next verses, text 8, 9, 10, and 11, where Jiva Goswami is talking about Bhagavan realization. What is its eligibility factor and how it manifests Bhagavan realization? And that discusses, he's pointing out so many verses actually, more than 10 verses. So, and it's really a little bit difficult also. So please tune in for next week's class, and I look forward to see you all. Suresh Prabhu has this, which is original composition of Srila Jiva Goswami, and it is the only verse he wrote for the entire Sat Sandarbha, other than that, the new. Very good point. Thank you very much, Sanjay Prabhuji. Okay, so since we are time up, you know, so I'm sorry but not leaving time for discussion. So let's conclude the class. If somebody's volunteer to Dishan is back. Thank you so much.